Is that to the tune of It's a Hard Knock Life?
I think that was from
the beloved musical Annie?
I'm a hot mess.
Not exactly.
The new Broadway musical is Joshy.
I'd see that.
I'm a hot dumpster fire mess.
How you feeling, Josh? You good?
Yeah, I'm here.
Larry, are you on top of the world?
I'm okay.
I'm just loving it.
Okay.
I'm stuffed, man.
This episode would need some sort of like listener warning. Like the following contains depiction of
three beaten human beings.
Yeah. Yes, you will receive no joy from listening to this episode.
Listener discretion is advised.
It's going to be a rough one. Let's get it started.
All right.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships and tune into this podcast or not, where your artificial friends.
I just did that with the backside of the pick.
That's the kind of day it's going to be, right?
Yeah. Mm. I'll go first.
I'll go first because mine is the least eventful. I had weird dreams. I felt like my brain was buzzing all night. I tossed and turned. When I did dream, they were freaking weird. Have you ever dreamed that you were I was watching a movie, and then I was in the movie that I was watching.
Tell me it was Emmett Otter.
No, it was a documentary. It wasn't anything very exciting or all. I can't even remember the details, but I've never been absorbed into the thing that I was watching there's something going on with me. That's it. I had terrible sleep. I'm in an awful mood. That's all I got. So,
happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks a bunch.
Yeah. I had a great weekend otherwise. Great weekend up until last night. Yeah. Maybe it was just dreading this.
I was going to say, maybe it's like knowing that this is right around the corner. Your body just reacts like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have like a physical reaction to recording this podcast.
Visceral reaction.
It's a subconscious reaction. Yeah.
Like
I'm watching this podcast happen and now I'm absorbed into it and it's unsettling. That's exactly what it is.
You can't wait to see how it ends.
Yeah.
No, I just can't wait till it ends. That's all. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, Andy, but mine is the least interesting. But that's all I got.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty uninteresting. But no, go ahead, Andy.
I think he was right. It was pretty uninteresting.
Well, you have nothing to compare it to yet, but you know what your issue is, and you seem all fired up to let us know what your
my eyes are barely open already at this point. Josh, what happened? Why was your night?
I didn't sleep that great, but I mean that's just generally a shitty night. I mean I everything was a hot mess when I came up to record, hence the singing. It's a hot mess. Computers were not in the room. Everything was just like, what the hell? So that's why it was kind of a train wreck. But yeah. I mean, yeah, and I just destroyed breakfast, and I'm just I'm not feeling too good right now. I ate too much too fast.
What'd you have?
I made listen to this. I took you know how there's that chorizo, not the Spanish chorizo, but the chorizo that comes in like the plastic tube. It's almost like a paste. Have you ever had that kind? It's gross. It looks like when you squeeze it out, it literally looks like a human pooping. It's in a tube, and you cut the end off, and you squeeze it out. I'm not lying. It looks like somebody defecating into a frying pan. And you take that, right?
You had me at shitting in a frying pan.
So it's like this chorizo, this pork chorizo pasty sausage, and then I threw like five eggs in there and fried it up all together and then served that up over some sliced tomatoes and avocados with some salsa and tortilla chips. But it was so good. The problem is,
sounds delightful.
I know, but the problem is we recorded so early and by the time I got up, you know, it was like one of those, I wish I would have eaten earlier to give my body some time to adjust before I got to start sitting down and talking to you guys. Cause I know you're going to make me queasy.
Now, when you shit in a pan, do you use a green pan for that? A green pan so it doesn't stick?
Andy, before we get to your miserable night, as we were standing here, as Josh was talking, I get an email from Kathy Beck in our YAFSAC, yourartificialfriends.com, and it starts off, "Hi, guys. I think Josh is just grumpy the past few shows, and especially since you decided to end the podcast. See following Josh Grumpies." And she enumerates.
Oh, my God.
One, you can't stop big business from starting Christmas way before Thanksgiving. Two, you totally interrupted Andy from finishing his story about talking to Mark Thompson with another Steelers story.
That's not grumpy. That's just good. That's
three,
good stuff.
Maybe you weren't born yet, but in the 70s during the energy crisis, Congress kept daylight savings time to hopefully save energy. Epic fail when the winter mornings did not get light till after 9 and it still got dark by 5:30, et cetera, et cetera.
Hold on. That's not a Josh grumpy. Everybody joined that grump on that. That wasn't just me. You, not me. Andy, you agree with that?
Nope.
With daylight?
No. Nope.
No, but she's compiling the things that you are particularly grumpy. She's just she's noting a grumpy trend on you.
Oh, no, so. There's things I hate. Okay. Yeah. She just doesn't know me well enough then. She thinks this is a trend.
She's saying you've been in a particular snit.
Bullshit.
Over the last
That's
couple
all I'm
years.
Well, I gotta admit, Andy, I'm trying to remember the last time we ever felt like Josh was jovial and
when
jolly.
When was the last time I brought happy, gleeful Josh to this podcast?
Yeah. That's not why you're here.
That's not what I bring to the table. That's not what Josh is. Yeah. Josh is the sour grump that has to bring everybody back down to earth when they start talking about shower vans and all these good things they want to do in their life.
Virginia?
I got to shoot them down and say Thanksgiving. Yep. And they go, what? Oh, nobody says it like that. Oh, my God.
You're a dream killer. Your target is hope. And
Virginia, there really is a Josh Fleeger.
Yeah.
Anytime that someone cuts someone else off in traffic, that's Josh Fleeger.
Angel gets its wings.
Anytime that someone gets in an argument over a piece of apparel at a store, that's Josh Fleeger. Yeah. He lives in all our hearts.
I'm here. I'm everywhere.
Josh is the patron saint of Karens. Well, Josh Fleeger wouldn't stand for this. May I talk to your manager? So, Andy, who pissed in your cornflakes this morning? What's the deal?
It's just a rough night, and this is why I should have gone first, because you're going to feel like a dick. Silas has been, he's had a fever for 8 days.
No.
This is his 9th day of having a fever above 102. And the doctor said maybe our thermometer's broken because it was above 106. A couple of the times, and it reacted to fever reducer. So you know, we just thought, well, let's the fever's doing its job. Let's keep going. We gave him a couple of home COVID tests last weekend, negative. Finally, we go to urgent care early in the week, and they give him a one of those PCR tests and a flu test, all negative. And they give him some antibiotics to start taking at the end of the week, just in case it's a bacterial infection. And finally, Friday, we're like, fuck it, he's got to go see a pediatrician. We got to take him to his doctor. Checks him out. It's like there's nothing apparently wrong. There's no other symptoms. Let's up the dosage a little bit because that was a little low, but we'll see him on Monday if he's still not feeling well. Well, it comes to be Saturday, and he's just miserable, and it's not reacting to the fever reducer. So we're like, got to fucking take him to the hospital. So we go to, Children's Hospital. So they spend, 5 hours in the waiting room at Children's Hospital in fall. Which is just one big sniffle.
Yeah.
Jeez.
One big vomit.
Yeah. If he wasn't sick before he got there, he's going to be now.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that is a wonderful place. Wonderful people. I love the work that they do and always have and owe them. I probably owe them my daughter's life. So they spend the whole night there and they do a bunch of tests and so forth. They rule out a bunch of horrible things and they just think it's some nasty virus. So he ends up coming home last night, but a late, late night and not a heap of sleep.
So
he's waking up a little bleary-eyed.
Is there cough? What else?
Nothing.
It's just like lethargic.
You know what they call it?
What?
An FOU. No, FUO.
No, F-U-O too. You know what? F-U-O.
F-U-O.
And F-O-U.
It's going to sound like a Blue Oyster Cult album, but it's Fevers of Unknown Origin.
Oh my God!
Are you serious?
That's what they call it.
Are you making this up?
No,
the F U O, not the kid thing. I know. I'm sure you're sick. But are you making the F U O?
Larry, go online, put in F U O, and tell me what the first thing that comes up.
All right, first thing that comes up. I do hope that it is the Dirt Circus album title.
It's the Blue Oyster Cult album. Yeah.
Fevers of Unknown Origin. So
that's the fever of unknown origin is body temperature above 101 degree Fahrenheit rectally that does not result from transient and self-limited illness, rapidly fatal illness, or disorders with clear-cut localizing symptoms or
Don't read anymore because it gets depressing.
Your analysis of blood cultures.
Anywho, he's still feeling miserable, but we're gonna go see a specialist to find out what it is.
So they haven't they don't know what it is, but they think they've got it under control or
no?
They don't know.
I mean, it's under control. It's reacting. Well, what they found out is what they first said is he's a brute, and he's bigger than the dosing on the kids because he's 11. And, he's not ready for the adult stuff yet.
Right.
So the dosing is, way off. He's like 20 pounds heavier than any of the kids on those lists. So he's like in the 90th percentile. So first of all, they said, you got to give him more of that shit. That'll make him feel better. But beyond that, don't really know what the hell it is. So we're just going to go and
I think it's a virus
is what they think.
I think you could just. Anything you can't explain, you could put the word down with U and O after it and just say that's what it is.
Yeah, Josh, you O.
I got diarrhea of unknown origin. D-U-O.
Did you eat something? Did you get a bug?
I don't know. It took Pepto. It won't go away.
I will tell you, it's as a parent, you have to make those decisions of, when your kid's sick of, is this normal? Do we just ride this out? Is this, this fever going to break? Because that's what you think is going to happen, but you don't know it's what's going to happen. It's maybe what you would do for yourself, but when you have to deal with that for your child and then thinking about all of the possible, if Larry would read on, and please don't, of all of the possibilities that something like that could be. There's cancer and all sorts of things.
And then that shit just sticks in your head and you're just laying there in bed all night.
It was a pretty shitty week for us. And I just feel sorry for the boy because his entire Thanksgiving break from last Saturday, every day of it was just feeling miserable, not being able to eat, just feeling dreadful. So,
I hope that in the long run it turns out to be something benign. Like,
guess what? I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Maybe that's all he needs.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, I haven't tried that.
All right.
I'm gonna go try that.
Did you save him some tofurkey?
No.
Do you ever think maybe there might be a cover?
He's faking it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there still tofurkey around?
The boy loves it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He loves
it.
No,
they've been ingrained
it down.
Got it.
Oh, God, he would eat a whole tofurkey by himself.
You forget, Josh, they were born into the cult, so they know nothing else.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I couldn't imagine just sitting down with a fork and a knife and a loaf of tofurkey. Well, just going to
you touch on something. You touch on something very important and very pertinent. It's the question of Larry. Hmm? Please tell us the story of the smoked beets.
Yes. I want a smoked beets post-mortem.
God. It
didn't turn out that great. I smoked a giant turkey breast that day,
how did that turn out?
That turned out fantastic. That's 2 years in a row, although I did inform the rest of the family after 4 hours of tending that, because, I'm a man's man. I'm a caveman. I'm a hunter-gatherer. I'm out there monitoring modulating. I'm tending the fire. I am keeping the torch lit for all real men everywhere in front of those smokers. Not pulling the whole Sam Farmer, you know, do it for my phone while I'm on the yacht. BS.
Exactly.
But never again. I told him this is the last one. Because 4 hours of sitting there breathing in maplewood smoke and trying to keep it right at 225 degrees.
I think maybe you're doing it wrong. I think this is a perfect time to slowly drink a lot of beer while you're making the turkey.
Yeah, except I'd just be passed out by the time
for breakfast.
Going back a second to the last thing you said, Larry, did you turn 180 degrees within the same sentence? And say, yeah, fucking Sam with his remote control, easy peasy shit. Yeah, well, I'm out there what a dilettante! Can't believe that he considers himself a smoker. But I'm totally doing it that way next year.
No, that's not what I said. I'm not doing it ever again.
At all?
No,
You're never going to smoke?
I'm not going to smoke a turkey again next year.
Why?
We're going to a restaurant. I did it last year because last year was still very much in COVID, and we usually actually, because Sharla works so hard at Christmas, a month later, we actually do normally go out for Thanksgiving. So last year we knew we were going to stay in. We weren't going to be among people. We just didn't feel comfortable yet. And so we did that. And then we did it again this year because for many of the same reasons, but we really enjoyed it last year and it turned out great. And the whole family went, smoke a turkey again. We'll do that and we'll do more traditional for Christmas. And I realized about halfway through the smoking, this is a pain in the ass. It's not enjoyable. There's a giant chunk of my day that all I'm doing is doing this. And Charlotte's inside working her ass off on the sides. And then the beats turned out meh. I'll tell you, I think that...
Well, what was wrong with the beats?
I just think they needed to be there longer. I was following a recipe from... or at least a methodology from Jamie Oliver, the British chef, and he had a good one that was worked perfectly with what the setup I had. I just don't think I left them in long enough. Beets to cook in that temperature, and it changed a little bit once I literally just like dropped them on the coals. You saw the little foil pouch I made. I just dropped them right on the coals because they were not getting cooked through.
The beets are pretty dense. It's like cooking a carrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what Laura has done, and I can't speak to the smoking of it. I haven't smoked anything yet, but she went out and bought. This is kind of cheating, but she bought a package
of smoked beets.
Of sliced beets, of organic sliced beets that are sealed in a container. Then I can take those and put those in the smoker. And I think that since they're already,
didn't I say that you should maybe slice them and you guys poo-pooed on me? Didn't I say that?
I did poo-poo that because in theory, it's like you want them whole. You want them to kind of be smoked through. But that could work too. But I'm not sure what it's going to do to the consistency once the inner meat is exposed. So yeah, I will be curious to know how that turns out. But yeah, I mean, they were fine. They were fine. And also maybe I used two because I was using the same wood chips as I was using for the turkey, which is I wanted something a little milder. They were maple wood and the turkey was on for 5 hours, which the beets were not. So
maple wood sounds nice.
But it's a little subtle, but it's great when you're smoking for such a long time. So we don't need to talk about this any longer. The beets were okay.
Let's not waste any time on our last five episodes.
I will tell you the entire
meal. We've got more valuable shit to talk about.
Yeah. The entire meal was awesome.
Let's not talk about anything pointless on this podcast. Let's go on. This is for important things.
This is all going to end up on the cutting room floor anyway. So let's go.
Well, you asked.
You guys ready to start? Yeah. Ready to sing the song over and start? There's another bit of before we get to the most important thing of the day, which is the denouement of Emma Dotter's Jug Band Christmas, which hopefully all of us have watched and have thoughts on.
Oh, yes. I finished it this morning, so it was fresh.
Ooh, well, nice.
I want to talk about a couple of other things that are kind of important regarding home improvement.
Oh, Jesus.
In a way, both inside and out. Fellas, the last thing I left you with last week was that my dishwasher had shit and I had to go get a new one.
Right.
Well, I want you to know that I spent much of the day on Sunday procuring a new dishwasher. And then they said, hey, we can get it to you. We can get it to you on Tuesday. You're going to have this in time for Thanksgiving, the biggest kitchen day of the year. You'll have this dishwasher in your house on Tuesday. You can install it. You'll have it. Your family's going to love you for it. We can get this done. And I said, that's fantastic. Take my $700 and bring me a dishwasher. They bring it. They bring it on Tuesday. Tuesday morning. I was pretty happy.
Tuesday morning, too.
Yeah. I start to install the thing, and then it dawns on me something that I'm missing. They don't sell you a dishwasher and say, hey, do you want the hookup kit?
Nope. Nope.
They don't just throw that in. They don't say, oh, by the way, you have to know. Because they expect you to spend the $150 to have somebody come in and install it.
Well, also like the pipe sizes are different, so you should know that.
Well, they give you an array of them. They give you a number of fittings. So it should one universal kit should take care of just about everything.
Right.
From a regular hose fitting to a 3/8 inch water supply line. So I go and get that. I come back and I hook up everything. I splice in the power wires. I connect the water line. I take out all of the spacers inside. I get it ready to go. I get it pre-leveled, ready to do everything. I take the big piece of plastic that's screwed onto the top back to, you know, protect the thing in the crate. Last thing I do before I'm going to slide it in and, excuse me.
Thank you.
And
you're supposed to put the plastic on before you slide it in.
Right.
So you've been doing it wrong. No wonder you have two kids.
That took me unusually long to figure out what you were talking about. I'm sitting here like an idiot, like, what the hell is he ringing the bell for?
I think that's the chorizo having its effect.
I was
going
to say.
Yeah. That's your shit in a pan talking to you.
You're weighed down by your breakfast. Anyway.
Anywho. I take that thing off, take off the two screws and lift it off. The top of the fucking thing is dented in. Something dropped on it. It's dented in like almost an inch on one corner. The bracket on the top is like turned 30 degrees. I'm like, son of a bitch.
So not minor enough knowing that it's going to be hidden once you slide it in because it's done something to the integrity of the
mounting of it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it wasn't even that. I didn't need that mount to do it. But when I looked inside the dishwasher, when you're looking inside the tub,
okay.
One side on the top is down a half inch lower than the other side. And I'm thinking, okay, the racks will go in and out of there.
But
and
the
it looks
inside
like it's
going to
work.
Out, yeah.
It looks like it's going to work. But what if something hit it hard enough to do that? What else might it have damaged?
Plus, we don't know what it cracked in there, and there's water and everything involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What if it, you know, somehow broke a weld somewhere else in the tub? Yep. It's the Apollo 13 thing.
Sucks. Especially after doing all that bullshit.
Yes. What happened to this thing that, you know, might go wrong? It looks like it's okay today, but what might go wrong down the line?
Right.
And that's why I'm now, you know, replacing a dishwasher after just 4 years. And so I go, I take pictures of it, and I go back over there, and I say to them, hey, my dishwasher, it arrived damaged. What can you do about it? And they're like, oh, damaged, was it? With hands on hips. And I show them pictures, and the moment they see the pictures, like, oh, yes, damaged.
Yeah, even Andy couldn't have done that.
Yeah. And so
I'm just curious, did you carry it to the store like lumber?
On my back! Walked in there. The hose is dragging behind me.
Move it, kid. He just kicks the kid to the side.
Holding it up over my head. I'll throw it. Move. So anyway, I go in there and they say, well, first of all, let's see if we've got another one. And they find one, not in their store. But they find one that's miles and miles away. They say, well, we could have this delivered to you by December 2nd. I said, you understand, of course, that that is well after Thanksgiving. And we've got a guest for Thanksgiving. It's going to be a house full of pans and horse shit. I can't deal with this. And the woman's like, ugh, that sounds awful.
She goes, why? Because you told her about the tofu?
Yeah.
And yeah, you're going to be rinsing a lot of that off of plates. Yeah, a lot of leftover tofu.
No wonder you only got one guest.
She says to me, well, you know what you could do? I said, what? And she said, you could use it. I'm like, really? But I'm returning it. She goes, yeah, go ahead and use it. She turns to the guy next to him. Can he use it? He goes, yeah, he can use it. I wouldn't use it because it could be damaged, but he can use it. She goes, you can use it. And I said, all right, I'll use it. I'll use it for a week. And I'll just go home. I'll put the fittings right on. And this will be easy peasy. Thanks a bunch. And they said, oh, here's the thing. You've got to pay for another one and pay another $700.
Oh, up my
until,
ass.
Until we come and get the other one and it comes back to the store. Give you back $700.
No.
And I said, well, you've got me under a $700 barrel here. Okay, here's another $700. But...
what happens if that thing breaks now?
But I says, you got to throw in one of those hookup kits.
Oh, wheeling and dealing. Look at you.
Yeah. So I really dragged them over the coals for $30.
Yeah, but what happens if the one? Okay, what? Okay, finish. What happened?
I go home, and I'm starting to hook up this dishwasher that I already had a kit for, right? I already bought a hose for at another store. I start hooking this thing up, get everything. And by the way, we got one of those deep sinks. You know, it's like a foot and a half deep. So trying to get
farmer's
behind
kitchen,
it.
Farm kitchen sink.
Trying to get up behind it against the wall to reach the fittings. Oh, God, I was swearing up a storm. It was horrible. You need to have people do this shit for you. You need a guy for this kind of
thing. You should have just hooked it up outside.
I should have had a guy. I should have called my guy.
Have it hooked up out in your patio, just run it out there for a couple days.
But I finally get all of the fittings hooked up on this thing, get it ready to go. It's all snaked through and leveled and ready to go. And I turn the water on and I look at the front of the thing and it's gushing water out of the hose.
Of course it is.
I'm like, what is going on? And what I realize, it's the hose itself that has a leak in it. It's one of those, it's supposed to be a leak protector thing and shut off, but it was defective. It wasn't working. So I'm like, son of a bitch. And it's like 8 o'clock at night. And I've got to go. It's bedtime for the kids. Laura's not able to cook in the kitchen because I've got the place torn up. Had to order pizza because she couldn't get in there. And I'm in a pissy mood. And so then I got to pick up everything, go to the store, get a new one, and bring it back and tighten everything up again and get it all done. And it works like a charm. Everything works fine. It works just flawlessly.
That's funny that I just remembered something. Our first Thanksgiving here in this place. Mm-hmm. I was doing something in the kitchen, like cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and Owen comes running through the kitchen, and like literally a cartoon does that thing where he's sliding across the floor and his arms are flailing, and he just slams right into the back door and falls down. And I turn, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'm trying to cook in here. You're gonna get hurt. And he's like, I didn't do anything. And I look. And I had a leak in my dishwasher, and it just in the middle of cooking, it had just like exploded all the water out across the floor, and he had run through it in his shoes and just wiped out. But yeah, maybe like Thanksgiving is the time for dishwashers to die. That's the time where they go back to where they're, you know what I mean? It's where they see the sun setting.
It's the worst. And, you know, I mean, we've got two kids and a house. We cook all the time at home. So the dishwasher, it runs twice a day at least.
Yeah.
All the time for 4 years, that's thousands of cycles. Oh. It makes sense that the thing will take a shit after a while.
When we bought this place, We didn't. I literally, having moved from Pennsylvania to California, not until we bought this place, lived in a place that had a dishwasher. And I told my wife, I'm like, literally, the place that we're buying now is a roof to put my dishwasher under. That's all I want. Is like, I literally, I'm not washing, hand washing another dish the rest of my life. Dishwashers are a key component. Here's my question to you: is what happens if you damage the broken one? And they won't take it back. Now do you have to buy two dishwashers?
No, they're going to take it back. It's already damaged.
Yeah, but then why would you have to pay for the other one?
Because they want the other one back to refurbish.
Oh, I see. So it's just kind of a, okay, I see what you're saying.
He'll get, they're not going to refund him the money or just do a straight trade until they actually get the unit back.
They've got to have that back to mark off and take the
tax break. I was just worried that had it broke even further. They're going to be this is user error.
They need it back so they can claim the loss themselves on it and justify giving me another one. So all of that horseshit's going to be done. This is last weekend, coming off the weekend before, where I spent the entire day on Saturday putting in a new alarm system.
Oh, you got that going. The Nest.
Got that going. No.
No. What?
I did not go Nest.
Stop screaming at me.
nor Ring.
I went an off-brand you've never heard of.
Oh, good. Well,
it's called Catch a Crook.
I went with Acme. No.
Same place you got your dishwasher? Is that the same company?
Yeah. I went with Zap'em Burglars.
it's a company. It's one of the do-it-yourself companies, like Nest or Simply Safe. They're called Cove.
Oh, that's right. That's what you told us, Cove.
Yeah,
you Cove. Didn't tell us about Cove.
And it's crazy because I went with because I got a fence, a high fence all the way around my property. It's not Fort Knox or anything, but people looking at the street looking like, well, I'm not gonna. That looks like more of a pain in the ass. I'm going to go to a different house. So having a fence, I think, is key to security in a house. I'll never live somewhere that I don't have a fence. But beyond that, we just had them, the things on the doors and on the windows and, motion sensor and so forth. I didn't have any video. I've entered the world of video surveillance around my house. I got a doorbell one in the front. And I've got a video camera in the back that just has the entire backyard and all the doors in the back. It's amazing.
Are you watching it obsessively, even when you're home?
Yes. Well, here's the thing, that I got to change the settings on it because, like, every time I walk out to, my office, or every time Laura goes and takes the laundry out or whatever, I get an alert on my phone of motion detected in the backyard.
Right. You can set like timers on them so it just doesn't monitor between this time and this time.
That's what I'd be a little concerned about, because we have like 100 deer that wander through our backyard every day. And I would get alerted, and skunks and raccoons. I'm thinking.
Well, the camera motion detector doesn't set off the alarm.
Right.
So it's not like,
alert you, right.
You can set it to if you want it to.
Can I?
Yeah.
Anytime a possum walks through the backyard.
Well, I mean, mine I have it set to only do record when a human is moving through it, but it will tell me if motion is moving through it. You know what I mean?
I see.
But yeah, I love those things. They're great.
Well, friends, I'm to the trifecta, the last part, the part three of this 3 weeks of home do-it-yourselfing.
It's like the three days of Christmas.
I'm hoping that today is the day. Speaking of that, Josh, you're prescient. I think today's the lights have to go up.
Oh. Already done that.
Yep.
You already did it?
Hell yeah, day after Christmas. We're all 100% Christmased out.
Day after Thanksgiving.
Day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Thanksgiving.
And you,
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Larry, you seem to say that you've done it already, too.
We don't put lights on the outside, but Sharla had the tree up like last weekend for when Alex came home pre-Thanksgiving. So she does a very minimal thing, but we have a brand new tree.
Yeah, we got one
artificial tree.
Too.
And she put up, she kind of decorates it now as kind of a wintry thing with a couple of little touches of color. And it,
Is it flocked?
It is flocked. It is flocked.
It's a white means. White tree. It's a white tree.
White noble. So it's kind of a little sparse in the middle. So it looks beautiful. It's
Andy,
lovely.
What piece of nature are you going to take away from the forest and put in your living room this year?
I'm going to get a Christmas branch. So years from now, this tree will be around.
There it is, the first one of the episode.
There it is. What a great segue into Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. I don't feel like I should be the one to curate this.
I feel like everybody already knows how me and you feel about it, Andy, right? I think Larry should guide us through his journey through the wonderful land of Emmett Otter and his friends.
That would be great. Now, we should just set the premise for everyone. What we're talking about here, if you're unfamiliar, if you've not been following the bouncing ball, for years, Josh has said that Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas is a family favorite. It's a holiday classic. I have agreed. It's something that I watched on television when it first aired. I remember watching it with my mom when I was little and just being enamored with it. It's a wonderful presentation of the Jim Henson Muppet Corporation. and it's been delighting us for years and years. However, there was a long period of time that it was not available.
Right.
And I remember a good friend of mine, we used to have movie nights on Sunday nights. We would watch Sopranos, you know, while it was in season or, you know, whatever, Ollie G or whatever. But then the weeks where those shows weren't in production, we would watch, everybody would take a turn. You bring a movie, so forth. And we would have movie nights on Sunday night. And one of my dear friends around the holidays brought one year, and this is like, you know, maybe less than 20, this is like 18 years ago, brought Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. And I'm like, a kindred soul. Yeah. And we watched it and loved it. And it's just fantastic. Larry, you take it from here.
Yeah.
You watched it for the first time.
Which is strange to me because I grew up a Muppet fan. Like, I was watching Sesame Street well past the age of what I should have been, because I knew my alphabet already, and I knew about cooperation. Didn't need those goddamn lessons, but I was just so enamored of how inventive the show was and the comedy that they included. I mean, there was some just funny gags in there, and the Muppeteers were so talented, and I really became a fan of it. And then when the Muppet Show came around, it was, and the Muppet movie came out. I mean, I was there, like, first day. So I was a big fan of Jim Henson and what he was doing, but I think that if it was non-Muppet related, I didn't really gravitate to it. Like, I didn't care about, what's the other movie? Is it Labyrinth that is?
Labyrinth. Right. Yes, yes. And what about Fraggle Rock?
Well, I was going to say
Fraggle Rock. Time, I had no interest
at this
in.
Time too. You got one of the things we're kind of glossing over is this is a time when he also did stuff, some things like Fraggle Rock specifically for HBO. So I think HBO kind of had the rights to these things. That's why they kind of went away.
And we were too poor to have premium. Cable.
So if you didn't get HBO, you weren't exposed to the Fraggle Rock or Emmett Otter's Jug Band.
Yeah,
Christmas.
And it's weird because you guys talk about it as this kind of beloved classic, and it would have been right in my prime time of watching. So I think you're right, Josh. I don't think I was just ever exposed to it.
Right.
And you guys got to watch it in later years because it was available probably on VHS or something, or maybe even played on other channels or something. And I also just kind of love the history of it. You know, it is based on, you know, childhood books, and I found it really fascinating. I kind of went down a deep dive of like its background and where it came from and how it was developed and the technology they use, and of course finding out that Paul Williams wrote the music and all the songs. And anything that involves a washtub bass, man.
And a jug.
And a song about barbecue, which is not very Christmassy, but it don't matter. look, it's a curiosity. I thought the story was fun. I thought the voices were great. I recognized a lot of them. Do you guys have a memory? Did you see the episode? Because apparently there was some legal issues at one point where they cut out the Kermit the Frog.
I was right about to bring that up. The initial thing, because we talked about this, was it last week we were talking about Kermit the Frog riding a bike and how disturbing it was?
Yeah, because I said the first time I ever saw that was in the Muppet movie, and it disturbed me, and that is the first image you see in this damn thing.
I have the DVD, and that is all edited out.
Right.
Kermit the Frog does not show up, but on the original HBO thing, he opened the show with kind of a dialogue on what was going down. You know what I mean? He just did the...
Yeah, he does the whole intro, and there's a little moment at the restaurant or whatever where they're performing, where they pull back and he kind of wraps up the story.
They cut that part out too. I don't remember that. I remember the beginning though.
Is it possible that they edited it down from 50 minutes to 30 minutes for TV at some point?
No, it was completely a legal thing. At one point, the Muppets became owned by Disney, and so the images of anything Muppet related could not appear in that special, which was easy for them to snip off because you're not, you know, missing a lot of story. The whole point of putting Kermit in there was obviously for them to have some kind of transition, some sort of semi-organic link. way of taking the Muppets and moving them into this world.
Right.
But that was it. I mean, and look, it's also really fun because they do use some marionette stuff. You guys were talking about the way they walk, which is very disconcerting. They're just kind of hopping up and down, and the legs are kind of flopping.
So for the very first time, all three of us watched it together, right? Because I've watched it with Sydney before, and I've watched it with Owen before, but never all three at the same time. And when the scene where they go down the slide, right? I think that's like kind of one of the very obvious where they're running around on the ice and everything. Owen laughed out loud and stood up and started walking like in a marionette. And he's like, look how I walk. It's so weird. He just started laughing at it.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, the whole, this the howdy doody motion of them going around like that. Yeah, it's a little off-putting, I'll give you that.
I do have one issue with a story point, and if I can dig a little bit to just kind of the artistic choices that were made, because when the Riverbottom Nightmare Band begins playing at the talent show.
And by the way, speaking of weird things, the snake is playing a guitar, and it's wrapped around it, and it's using its tail to flip the strings, right? To strum them.
Right.
And at first, it's flipping over here, too far away, and then somebody realizes halfway through the performance, and then it's flipping over here.
Oh, trust me, there's many things. Like when you watch when Emmett tries to put the hammer and the nail into the washtub, he misses the nail by a foot and hits his own hand. He's just like,
it doesn't react.
Josh, you're giving away key plot points.
Yeah, that's a big moral dilemma, and you just spoilers. I'm sorry, folks. Spoilers. What was really funny about the talent show, but when I realized that there were going to be, I don't think I realized it was a musical per se. So when they started doing the songs, and I had looked up to see who wrote them, just to see, and that it was Paul Williams, who is responsible for so many schlocky songs throughout the 70s, but also some pretty cool ones too. And he was, you know, constantly showing up on variety shows. You know, so it's like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our musical guest, Paul Williams. And then he would sing a song he wrote that was a huge hit for like Barbara Streisand. And you're like, why is this short little man singing Evergreen?
Orange glasses that are giant. Yeah.
And for people who only know him as the short one in Smokey and the Bandit, it's wild to look up his career. His career is insane.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But
who that is?
Yeah.
The little guy he calls his son? Really?
Yes.
No. The one that's paying Smokey to go.
But he refers to him as his son.
Does he?
Yeah. He calls him his son.
Oh, maybe so.
The little guy with the big bald guy. They both wear white suits and cowboy hats.
Yeah, and cowboy hats. Right. I had no idea that they hire him to get the beer. Yeah.
I had no idea. All right.
Yeah, I would bet that Paul Williams was pals with Jerry Reed, and that might have been where
I think Paul Williams was pals with Burt Reynolds, actually.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
And was Paul Williams also in Cannonball Run?
He might have popped up in some of the other, like, Burt Reynolds, Hal Needham stuff. Yeah.
There's a lot of strange characters in the a lot of strange people in those movies, isn't there? Burt Reynolds movies. Like, why is Terry, who's the dude with Terry Bradshaw in Cannonball Run that goes just a wreck in the pool? You know what I mean? Who is that guy? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, never mind. We're off topic here.
Yeah, but did you realize Jackie Chan's American debut? Like,
wait.
Later on, I did know that. They were
trying to make him a huge star because he was so huge in Hong Kong. And it was like he had so much trouble with the language. It was another, like, you know, 20 years before he actually broke through.
Is Josh talking about Mel Tillis?
Maybe. Who's the guy that they were riding in a race car?
They got like 10 cases
of beer and a bag of Cheetos. And then they had like a Sun Tropics car or something.
That was Mel Tillis' whole gimmick. He was
Mel Tillis was a huge country singer.
Had a horrible stutter as a child. And it's kind of, there's something in the brain. It's like when stroke victims can't speak any longer, what they find is that they can still sing. It's a different part of the brain that does it. So that's why when he was talking and he would start stuttering, he would sing just a little bit. It would get him out of the stutter. Yeah. And he practiced the singing so much that he became a country star.
Ladies, but he played it up for comic effect. Like on Hee Haw and all that. I mean, he actually used that as a gimmick, and it made him even more famous. It's kind of like Foster Brooks playing drunk.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want everybody to take a step back and take a breath for a second and be like, you know what? There's not many podcasts in this world that are able to transition from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas to the Cannonball Run so seamlessly and so fluidly. I just want to point out this is the shit that you're going to be missing. Okay.
Yeah, right. So, here.
Anyway, Larry,
we
got
to get back to Emmett Otter. Yes.
Please
continue. So I popped on subtitles, is my point, so I could see what the words to the songs were. And the fun part about that was the way they would describe certain things as they were starting. And let me see if I can pull it up here because I just want to hear it.
To have been our last act. Normally, we wouldn't allow any last-minute entries, but these kids have come a long way, all the way from River Bottom. Yes, these river bottom
Come on, let's clear it away there, huh?
Kind of
Come on,
act.
Clear it out.
I also love, isn't it like a fish?
I got to think about the fish. We'll talk about the fish.
Okay, because he basically just sits there and sings out, comes out of the water.
He's a freeloader. He doesn't do nothing.
It's kind of like the guy that dances in... Now, the subtitle that comes up here, it says, Hendrix-like... guitar opening. I'm like, oh, okay, description. I'll take that for the moment. But once they get started, it's full on Alice Cooper.
Yeah,
it's Alice Cooper,
or
totally,
Deep Purple
totally.
Or something. Yeah.
But just their whole stage persona, and also keep in mind it's 1977. So the plot point issue that I have here is that knowing what I know about the community in which Emmett and all of his other lovely people live, this should have taken the plot turn that this scared the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
They should have been running, screaming from the place. How did this win? How did this win them
Larry,
over?
Larry, to your point, let's also point out who the judges were. Do you remember who the judges were? The ones that actually picked the winners. He just shows up. The first one they introduce is like something. I don't know. He's like a muskrat or something. And the second one is the mayor's wife, who's a fox, the one that was a bitch in the beginning that didn't want to pay for her laundry. Yeah. So she's an uppity
Yeah, but she's not going to like any metal. She likes the bad boys.
Well, maybe. Yeah. And then the third dude is the bullfrog who owns
Mayor Bullfrog,
right? Who likes the music that Emmett Otter and his mom are singing? Yeah. And, but those, he's like, oh yeah, no, I like the Jimi Hendrix opening.
Yeah, to me, that's really a major plot hole. But and, you know, they had to, you know, resolve it and have some conflict.
Those are the biggest celebrities you can come across in Frogtown Hollow. I mean, that's about as the best you can do. The mayor and his wife. And
all right, I have a problem. Wait, with
the one other observation. Hold on. One other observation I want to make is when because I'm watching this right around the same time that we are watching the Get Back documentary on Disney Plus, which is.
Oh yeah, I need to watch it.
Okay,
don't tell me. I forgot. I need to watch it. I'm waiting for that.
I feel like we're not supposed to be seeing this. It is so intimate I mean, there's even conversations that weren't supposed to be recorded that they've put in this. I feel like I'm a fly on the wall in a way that I've never felt about these. I can't say enough about how absorbed I am in this thing.
That's Apple, right? Apple TV?
Apple TV Plus. Okay.
It's phenomenal. And I won't say which songs, but you're watching, and this is not put on. You're watching this as Paul McCartney is freaking out a little bit about not having enough songs. Not having enough new songs. I mean, that's why they went back on Let It Be to go and do, you know, one after 909 and early shit. They just didn't have enough songs that they were happy with.
New stuff, right.
New stuff. Right. He, in the moment, just shows up. John isn't there yet. They have an hour to fart around, and he's sitting across from George, and Ringo's at the drums, and he just starts riffing on his bass, playing a thing. And it turns into one of the most well-known Beatles songs you know, and you see it come together right in that moment.
And it's not come together, by the way.
And it's not come together. And another time,
it's
then they go on.
Yeah.
They go on and they're having conversations, right? About, you know, they're putting together a TV show. What should the set look like? How should we have the conversations with John and the producer and all this, the director and all this kind of stuff going on, these conversations all around the studio. And in the middle of it, Paul is sitting over at a piano playing a song. And you're like, wait, I know that medley, that melody. I know what that is. And then a little bit later in it, he plays the whole thing. He goes, okay, so this is what I came up with. And everybody's just standing around with their jaw hanging slack. Yeah, it's pretty goddamn crazy.
And multiple times, they're all just kind of sitting there playing little sketches of things that they're individually working on that aren't fully formed yet, that aren't even going to appear on Let It Be. They will end up in a completely different way, but you hear the fully... them attempting to expand certain songs that don't even end up on Let It Be, but will be on Abbey Road.
Is the last album released, but not the last album recorded.
Or will be on McCartney or All Things Must
on
Pass.
Walls and Bridges. Right. I mean, it's insane. All I'm saying is that when Otter and the band are rehearsing and kind of going, let's play it one more time. And so we just did. It's like, I feel like I'm watching the Beatles documentary. That little rehearsal point is really similar to a lot that's going on in the Get Back documentary, which is a weird. I mean, talk about again how Emmett Otter leads to apparently everything in pop culture. It's a touchstone for everything in pop culture.
It all comes back quickly, guys. We've got four phone calls I feel like, I know we're going to go over time here, but I feel like it's important to at least get the phone calls out of the way.
Yeah.
Because
let me just say thank you guys for turning me on to that. I found it to be delightful. I don't know that I am so connected to it because I missed it in my childhood that it would become a tradition, but it was lovely. It was fun to watch. It gave me warm feelings as I watched it. And I'm sorry we're going to not have time for Josh's rant about the fish. Another big list, part of the grumpy list that, you know, we can
He's a freeloader. He doesn't do anything. and they do everything for him. They build tanks into their cars, and they build tanks on the stage. And then
he's just
do?
Like one of the dancers in the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
I think the only line he has, he spits water on some dude on the middle of the street. And I was like, if I was that dude, I'd walk up and dump a can of WD-40 in your tank. See how you like that in your gills, you little prick. Spit water on me.
Wow.
Whoa, seriously. Right. You're trapped in the back of a tank in a car. You can't do anything. And you're going to spit water on people while you're alone? Hey, face the prices. You know, face the consequences. Here's a big can of 10W40 just right into your tank. Have fun. Anyway.
Kathy Beck, go ahead and add that to the list if you want. If you're keeping
can I
track.
Can I say this is how my family reacted. It was getting close. They're walking on the pond at the end. You know, it's all winded down. And I hear, and I look over, and Owen's cuddled up with Cindy, and I hear, is it almost over, Mom? So then she's like, it's almost over. And then we're sitting here a couple more minutes, and all of a sudden the credits start rolling, and Cindy goes, thank God, and gets up and walks
away. It doesn't necessarily hold to modern generations, unfortunately.
Yeah. I forced Silas to watch it while he had a fever laying on the couch. I got a buddy to watch it with. He's like,
he's later he's gonna think it was some sort of fever dream.
I was gonna say, he's like, I had the weirdest fever dream with these talking rats.
A whole bunch of rodents that were singing songs. Oh my God. I almost died.
One of them played a Jimi Hendrix type theme. It was insane.
It was the story of the gift of the Magi, but with Muppets. It was just so weird.
All right.
Let's get to the phone calls and wrap this baby up.
We gotta get to these phone calls. I feel it's the least we can do for people that bothered. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Remember how to do it?
No. Okay. I forget.
Well, while you're
time.
Fumbling with the phone, maybe you can tell everybody where they can call.
God, that's a great idea. It's area code 626-657-6428. Amok, PM Hat.
Fantastic.
That is the YAF line. Here we go.
Yo, man, it's Ron from Claremont. Hey, I can't believe you guys are going to say goodbye to all of us, man. You guys helped get me through the pandemic. I was one of the people who was still working. I work at a hospital, so... You guys have no clue how hard it was for those of us that worked there, especially those of us who are responsible for, the morgue. That was real macabre.
Wow.
But, you know, every Thursday and Friday night, I had you guys look forward to coming home on the empty freeway, and every night I would laugh. So I want to thank you guys. Larry, I'm going to lift up.
Heaven forbid
you should allow somebody saying something nice about me. No, Andy
sorry,
just gotta, can't handle it.
Sorry, we just got to move on, Larry.
Yep, Mercury right. Retrograde.
I'm pretty sure he was saying, thank God I still have Larry to listen to at night, who brings me joy and delight.
Should I try to read the, I'm going to try to read the transcription.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read the transcription. He says, so you guys have no clue how hard it was for those who worked there, especially the morgue. Okay. But you know, every Thursday and Friday night, I had to look forward to it. Thank you guys. Larry, I'm going to listen to you every night on Cares, cause I know while I'm patrolling the parking lot right around 9 a.m. every night, I'm going to hear Aha Take on Me.
There you go.
Josh, thank you for putting me on your turn back at the sound. Real cool guy. Oh, your turn. He was your turn.
Yeah. Nice.
There's no punctuation. This is crazy to read. You remind me of a friend of mine. He's just surround bullshit and drink.
Yep, that pretty much says it.
I am just surround bullshit.
And drink beer all the time. And Andy, you're a radio legend. I like Ron. I've learned.
Well, clearly that voice to text is completely off. Radio lunkhead, maybe he said. Yeah.
I've learned a lot about classic rock from you, brother, and I hope you continue to stay well and enjoy your kids. Thank you guys for the show. Bye. Yeah. That was nice. Thank you. Nice. Thank you, Ron.
Hey, Ron, thank you for all you did. As we said last week or 2 weeks ago, this was the thing that got us through the pandemic to a certain extent. So you were right there along with us.
Thank you for what he's still doing, too. I mean, this stuff ain't over, and those guys are still frontline doing what they got to do.
I can't imagine working in that environment and tirelessly showing up every day. I mean, think about how we complain about the things we have to do. Oh, I got to go do a show on a radio and talk over records. I'm, you know, like somebody just smack me in the face. So thank you, Ron. We appreciate that.
That's pretty amazing. And, you know, like the other day, I'm looking at the news headlines. I'm like, ugh, Omicron variant. Great. That's what we need. Yep. Imagine how Ron, people like him, feel when they see that kind of shit.
What's really fun is that at the same time that's happening, I look on Instagram and one of our coworkers in the building is vacationing in Johannesburg right now.
Nice.
Sweet. Welcome back from South Africa, dude.
Yeah, stay in quarantine for a year. All right, we're going to need a little opener for this one, Larry, if you don't mind. Low energy bite. Art.
Low energy bite. Hey, Appers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Yesterday was a shitty day. The first shitty thing was sheep shit. Loading and hauling 6 dump truck loads of sheep shit.
Oh, my God.
Then the second shitty thing was loading and hauling 2 loads of pig shit.
Oh, that's the worst.
Luckily, everything came out of the dump truck okay. As far as the Yap podcast shutting down, I haven't figured out just what I will do with the Low Energy Mic bit. Might have to talk to Mark Thompson or maybe Joe Rogan. Who knows? We'll see what offers are floated and where the pig shit shakes out. I'm currently working on the funeral march. Ooh. I'm thinking it will be an A minor. Well, that's all from this shit hauling man for today. See you later.
Okay. I mean, you guys know how I feel about pig shit, right? I've gone off on pig shit.
Yeah, you've made it very clear. Sheep shit can't be much better.
Can you smell it if you try realize what pig shit? No, you know that really
sharp detail.
That sharp smell, and it kind of gets in the back of your throat a little bit sometimes when you really breathe in, because it's like sour.
It's like stays it up in your nose. And just kind of lives there and just... there we go.
Thank you, Mike, for that
There's like an ammonia-y... It's so strong. It's so bad. It smells like if you light them... It's just so tangy. It smells flammable. It smells like everything. Like if I light a match, the whole world will explode.
By the way, between Ron and Low Energy Mike, we should really even appreciate our jobs even more.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, guys. That was Low Energy Mike. That
was Low Energy Mike. Okay, we've
two
got
two loads of pig shit.
We've got two more to go, and one of them is George. So we got to get started.
Oh boy,
this is George from Long Beach. As I have noted before, the narrow window between when a podcast posts and the next podcast is recorded makes it difficult to get immediate feedback on the podcast. If you check the times, you'll see that all of the Yap Line recordings in the last podcast were recorded before the We're Shutting Down podcast aired. I expect you'll have more feedback on the Yap Line this week. Mm-hmm. You also have the results of my assignment, the Algonquin Roundtable. I was surprised at how apropos the Algonquin Roundtable is to this podcast. The first meeting was actually a practical joke by John Peter Toohey. It was held in June of 1919 and was meant to honor Alexander Wolcott, who was returning from reporting on World War I. Instead, it was a roast of Wolcott. Everyone had a good time, and it was suggested that they meet every day for lunch at the Algonquin Hotel. Believe it or not, they first met in the pergola room at the Algonquin. They sat at a long rectangular table and called themselves the board. and the meetings were board meetings. When they were permanently assigned Luigi as their waiter, they became the Luigi board. As the group grew, they were moved to a round table in the Rose Room and began calling themselves the Vicious Circle because of their rapier wit and how they attacked each other with puns. But it was the name Algonquin Roundtable that stuck. The group had many members, including writers, playwrights, publicists, and comedians. The most famous name recognized today is Harpo Marx. They met for many years, but eventually they drifted apart. By the early 1930s, the Vicious Circle was broken. Edna Ferber said she realized when she arrived at the Rose Room for lunch one day in 1932 and found the group's table occupied by a family from Kansas. Frank Case was asked what happened to the group. He shrugged and replied, "What became of the reservoir at 5th Avenue and 42nd Street? These things do not last forever." Rather than fade away, you have decided to almost reach a milestone and then go on hiatus. Thank you, and we will forever be waiting for that 250th podcast. Until next time, this is George from Long Beach.
Wow. See there?
That had me craving some NASCAR news there.
Oh, no, I found that fascinating.
I found it fascinating.
I did laundry.
I'm pleased to know some of that information.
Yeah.
Harpo Marx.
Yeah. Dorothy Parker. I don't think I knew about Harpo Marx. I stayed at the Algonquin Hotel once.
Did you know about Luigi?
Is that right?
Yeah. I went down.
With a family from Kansas?
Nope. I went down. I was there on a business trip, and I went down and had a old-fashioned cocktail there in the little, you know, club, in the little bar, and I felt very fancy and old. It was great.
Nice.
Timey.
You kind of are.
Yep. Fancy.
One more phone call. This doesn't have a transcription. It scares me.
Uh-oh.
This might be someone telling me that my Social Security number has been destroyed or something.
Or your car warranty.
Hey, guys, it's Trucker Joe.
Yeah.
I'm in my own personal vehicle today, so there's no horn. Well,
that's not an excuse.
At least not a loud air horn. I'm just calling because, you know, I took a week to sit on this after you guys announced that you're going to be ending your show. And I just wanted to know, you know, many times I've said that you guys are my favorite podcast, and I really meant that. You're the only one that I look forward to. You know, I look forward to Thursday because I get to listen to you knuckleheads while I'm out there working. And I just wanted you to know that I truly did have appreciated it. And, you know, through the pandemic, it was great hearing you guys. And it was great getting to know Larry a lot more, you know, over that period of time. And, boy, I'm sure I can speak for everybody when I say we're really going to miss you guys. You know, I live in Northern California, so I don't hear you guys on the radio. But your show has been great. A lot of fun. What the hell is Low Energy Mike going to do? What are you going to do? He's not going to have his theme song? Anyways, guys, I'm just joking around with you. I just appreciate the 4 years you've given us, and I hope maybe sometime we'll hear you on some other shows. All right, guys, take care. Love you.
That was awesome.
Wow.
That was nice. Awesome. Thanks, Trucker Joe.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Although, you know, just adding to the list of Josh's grumpies with no Trucker Joe horn.
I didn't complain. I just said that doesn't have to be a big truck horn.
Yeah, he could have pumped the horn there on the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Or even just pretended and done it with his, you know, mouth. Wah, wah,
beep, beep. Just screaming at a bicycle rider when you're going back.
But that was a really, really nice call. Trucker Joe, and we appreciated your contribution very much.
That was a good batch of calls today. Yeah. That phone number again is 626-657-6428. You have precious little time to get your message into us if you so desire. Larry, was there anything else that had to see the light of day in our Yafsack?
We got some good stuff in the Yafsack at yourartificialfriends@gmail.com, but let's get to it next week, and we'll maybe compile those next week. There's some very excellent suggestions that I think we should listen to. So,
which podcast was this? What number?
245?
244? So we really won't know until the day of recording.
After today we have four more, whatever that means.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned that you had weird dreams, Larry.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you about a weird dream that I had like the night before last? I was alone. I was out at a restaurant, you know, and there was a group of people that were seated a little bit away from me. It was mostly women. I think there was one male in the group. And what I come to hear was that they were celebrating one of them coming out. And as I look over, I see that a couple of them appear to be couples. It looks like it's mostly a gay and lesbian group of friends who are out. And one of their friends decided that they were going to out themselves. And so what they had was, and this is weird, they had a tray of of appetizers. They had tacos and hot dogs, and whichever one you chose was you announced it. It was like it was like a reveal party. I swear to God, I swear to God, I had this dream. And then they come over.
No, you did not have this dream.
I swear to God, I did. What does this say about me? They come over to my seat where I'm sitting there just having a bowl of albondigas or something, and they said, "Would you care for one? We have extra." And I said,
"Can I have them both?"
Yeah, you just grabbed both. I just jammed them both in your mouth together at the same time.
No, he put them together and started to do the thing. Right? He started to do the finger in the hole.
Put the hot dog inside the taco.
I said, "Well, I gotta admit, those hot dogs look pretty good, but." If I have one, will it make me gay for life?
Oh, my God.
But they were the most wonderful people, and it was a lovely experience.
Oh, my
God.
I
said to them, I love how supportive you are of your friends. You look like, it's a nice group of people to know.
Did you say I'll have a hot dog as long as we don't have eye contact?
So what does that dream say? I got it.
Well, it clearly you are very epic. Is that the word?
Epicornically.
You're curious.
Epicurious? I don't know.
I'm epicurious.
Epicurious is what you are.
That's a website.
That's
isn't
a website.
It?
Yeah. That's
Well, look, Andy, nobody would ever judge
there's
you.
There's the title. Came in right into the wire.
Epicurious, question mark?
Nobody would ever blame you if you just wanted to try a hot dog once in a while. Yeah, just go ahead. Yeah.
Everybody's had a hot dog in college, you know.
There was that time you had a couple of beers, and you're like, that hot dog didn't look bad.
Everybody had a wet dream. Everybody let their hair down. Larry, how can people get a hold of you?
Just don't. Please don't. Just listen. Instagram @TheLarryMorgan.
Josh.
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
I'm on Instagram @AndyChanley. I'm on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley. On Twitter, @Andy_Chanley. It was a fantastic hot dog.
Hot dogs.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Saved that for the end of the show.
Yeah,
that was the meat of the sandwich. That should have been right off in the beginning.
You could have completely dumped that goddamn dishwasher story, like from top to bottom, and we could have gone off on that for two more hours. Oh, Andrew, you've got to understand plotting. You really have to
write this shit down before the show starts, and then rank them in order.
Yeah, and then just be objective about it, would you?
I wasn't sure how I felt about it yet.
All right. I'm gonna go cry myself to sleep.
All right. I'm gonna go smoke some beets.
Night.